This is the start of the Tangerine Dream Team show, and my name's Coral Reeve. We'll be soon speaking with our guest who's calling, and she's our guest from New Mexico. However, I'll let Freedom and I introduce her after one more song here.
New Mexico. Out on the range. Sure is quiet here tonight, and tomorrow smells like rain. A new moon gathered up the sky, the sun abiding wave goodbye, and sent another day to bed. Coyotes singing lullabies, lullabies. Oh, 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 oh. Ain't no place quite like it that I know. It's larger than life, and I'm hanging on with all my might to this place that I've come to know. New Mexico. Well, I'm wondering about them shooting stars, where they come from, where they go. Are they chasing down the ghosts of Billy Kid, Jesse James, Geronimo? Across the full moon rising up tonight. Oh my God, what a beautiful sight in this place that I call my home, sweet. Oh, 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 oh. Ain't no place quite like it that I know. And I like it like that. It's larger than life, and I'm hanging on with all my might to this place that I come to know. Mexico. It's larger than life, and I'm hanging on with all my might to this place I call my home, sweet home. Mexico.
And good evening. We have on the line Julia Lonergan.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. Yes, how are you this evening?
I'm good, thank you.
And with me is Freedom.
Hi, Julia.
Hi there.
And Julia, I could introduce you, or you could introduce yourself. You had been a professor here at UCSC for quite a time, and you were in the linguistics department, and also you were in the psychology department. Could you elaborate on where you were at and what was happening?
Yeah, I was invited to the University of California, Santa Cruz, and I studied in the Department of Psychology under the famous embodiment and metaphor scholar Raymond Gibbs, who He's an awesome psychologist. He makes UC Santa Cruz a really famous place for other psychologists. And I study specifically material culture metaphor, which is artifacts from antiquity that hold value representations, like what we use, what we value. So it's what we create. And through those artifacts, I study anthropology and linguistics. It's interesting, the embodiment, the whole concept of cognitive metaphor theory. So I'm a metaphor scholar, but metaphor is just not in linguistics. It's in the physical world. So I very much like material culture, which is actually, you know, antique pictures, antiquity. And that's kind of where I started my interest in these last five books that I've written.
And these books that you've written, they are quite historical, maybe historical fiction, and they're quite interesting, but they have a lot of reference to actual events. The latest one is The Secret Life of Billy the Kid, written this year, if I have that name, the title correct.
Yeah, The Secret Life of Billy the Kid. I just finished that book in this last year, and it's been one of the most interesting books. I was working on Billy the Kid at least for 3 years prior and 6 years writing about contextualizing the person in relationship to other people. So,
And I would like to say
surprising.
What the regular version of Billy the Kid is that he was a 19th century American gunman who participated in the Lincoln County War and became a frontier outlaw in the American Old West. According to legend, he killed 21 men, but it's generally believed that he killed between 4 and 9. And he killed his first man at 18, and then it goes on and on. And it says his build and his stature, and that he had blue eyes and this and that. But the big surprise you want to say is Billy was.
Yeah, Billy the Kid is actually a woman.
Billy was a woman. And what valid proof do you have for this proposal that you are making?
Well, it wasn't just, the thesis just didn't start there. I did a lot of research on the persona before that actually became clear through what I use is, I use census data, I use historical data. I actually have the family tree I've been working on. So I have the Ugin family tree, which is the root of where the Wells Fargo children come from, and she's on there. But I was working on her character already when I was writing my first three books on the history of Santa Cruz and the California land grab. She's in my first three books, which are called The Haunting of Mission Santa Cruz, Mexico, from 1708 to 1876. She's in there as Mary Mangles, the wife of Klaus Spreckels, who was the famous sugar baron that worked with the famous Heinz of the Ketchup, who was actually a real estate baron in Santa Cruz. And these two famous founders, quote-unquote, Mary Agnes finds a small part in the initial books as Mary Mangles. And that's the Mangles Mansion. It's in Aptos. It's actually behind the Bayview Mansion. It's called Klaus Mangles Mansion. Klaus Spreckels was her first husband, and Mary Agnes, where they confuse Agnes with Mangles. They did a lot of these semantic shifts, and so she turns up in book one and book two, and I'm already writing a lot about her before I start tracing their tracks. So by 1876, there's some major changes that take place, like lynchings and the land grabs, and the people that are guilty, they move into Lincoln County.
As Lincoln
Mormon
County?
Colonizers, settlers. Yeah, they come into northern New Mexico as settlers. And so I'm kind of tracing what they're doing. So I came to New Mexico to continue the research, and I'm kind of following the tracks of characters in the first books that actually came from Monterey and Santa Cruz.
And Lincoln County is in New Mexico, but New Mexico used to touch California, and not until, 1853 when New Mexico, I mean, I have that stuck in my mind. New Mexico was a state in 1912, but California was in 1853? Is that correct?
Well, so, yeah, so there was the first series of Mexican-American Wars between 1848 and 1853. And just like every war, it's justifying killing of these people, you know, killing of people, and you think war, you think equal battle, you think equal playing ground. But actually, it wasn't really the case. And so many people were killed in the 1848 to 1853 Mexican-American Wars. And this is when Santa Ana fell, supposedly, the largest part of Mexico, which is larger than, you know, the rest of Mexico. And California and New Mexico was a different boundaries then, but it was still New Spain. So during the time of New Mexico, like Albuquerque, it was already New Spain. And this was really early since the Pueblo, before the Pueblo Revolt of 1650. But Spain and New Mexico kind of laid on each other horizontally. And the Camino Real goes up to Santa Fe, but there's two routes that head towards California. One is the southern route through Sonora, which used to be called New Nevares. Sonora was part of Portugal taken by Spain after the Catholic monarchs came to power. And the northern Camino Real, which goes from Santa Fe up to Northern California. So that's the old San Antonio land grant. And, yeah, that came into Maxwell. And Maxwell was a very famous man in history, Charles Maxwell. He actually is Henry Cowell. So Cowell, who donated parts of University of California, Santa Cruz, this famous historical figure, he had a hand in writing his own history on that land because that's an old mission. And he comes later than the mission. It really wasn't his land to donate. It was an old mission, and this man, Henry Cowell, comes from Company Maxwell. And Charles Maxwell was the heir to the Maxwell land grant, which was the San Antonio land grant. It extended about 2 million acres from New Mexico to Northern California.
And Mexico was in control of all the land that is now California, even Capitola. Wasn't that the capital?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Capitola was the old capital of the Red Collars before these wars. And then the capital moves to Lincoln County. So we have the capital moved here to the old Lincoln County, which the boundaries have also kind of been altered. There's a big interest in shifting the way we perceive the West, because the whole metaphor of the Wild West kind of gives you the justification of, like, you know, Annie, get your gun. You know, it's like a free-for-all, but it really wasn't the case. It was a very high culture, and various empires, you know, ruled. Spain was an empire, Portugal was an empire, and they controlled the Camino Real, and they controlled the ocean. So it was a different type of travel in the past, but the naval powers did hold all the presidios all up and down California, and they controlled the Camino Real all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. And that's where Billy the Kid's family kind of comes from. She wasn't just a gunslinging bandit that, you know, they came from the East and had little contact with family and was orphaned and stuff. These things were, like they say, history is written by the victors. So there's a reason we have that version, and there's such a focus on her history as a man, because it kind of cloaks really where it went. And what I'm arguing in this book and what I've kind of been writing about is how her children became the Wells Fargo children. So it was 1912 that New Mexico became a state, but if you think about it, it's also the consolidation of the banks.
Ah, yeah,
that's the origin of Wells Fargo, yeah. And so Wells, is her father was named Sewell, Henry Sewell, or Cowell, or Maxwell, you see.
Because there were plays on words, weren't there?
Yeah, just tons of plays on words. She was actually somebody who, you know, survived her assassination and sat around and got to work on these kind of things. She wrote a lot of, they were very powerful. If you think about after the Gadsden Purchase, there came all these political appointments from Missouri and Texas and, you know, from as far away as Tennessee, you know, the powers that came into New Mexico, because the Spanish ejido is a common land, which means you can't sell it. So many families lived on the Spanish land grants, and you couldn't sell them because they're common land. So they had to apply Missouri law so that they could break down the ejido. They could break down this the idea of the common ownership. And so part of what happened were just a series of assassinations and that set up legal battles. And then these things took place in the court. It really wasn't a Wild West. It was in the sense that these assassinations were planned, but they were all, like, inside and known. So for example, when the Lincoln County War started, there was the assassination of Tuttle or Tunstall. He was assassinated in the Lincoln County Forest here near Fort Sumner in White Sands, New Mexico. And his mansion is actually in Watsonville. That's the Tuttle Mansion. Uh-huh. And he was a business partner of Klaus Spreckels, who was alive at the time of the land baron Hines. So Hines Victorian Mansion is in downtown Santa Cruz, and he was a ketchup baron who overtook the Del Monte tomato empire. He's the Hines tomato empire. And his compatriot was the famous Klaus Spreckels. And so what we find is that Mary Agnes, that's her first husband when she's 15, and those people are already involved in the politics of New Mexico by 1863.
Now Mary Agnes is known otherwise as Billy the Kid. Got that name somehow, right?
Yeah. So Mary Agnes Guggenheim. So uh-huh. Guggenheim, or the it's pronounced Guggenheim. Guggen uh-huh. is the Scottish. It's the root word of Google. So it's like a information giant. And Hines is, of course, the Hines Empire. That's her real name. But the Huggins family tree is it's what it's called, the Huggins family tree, but it's actually the family tree of the Wells Fargo children. And it's a forgery. It's in the Oakland Museum of Art and History, and I actually own a copy myself that belongs to me.
Yeah, there are a lot of sites and museums in Santa Cruz, aren't there? There's hotels, the Bayview, and there's mansions.
The McLaughlin Bean Mansion was. So there was a series of conspiracies that were planned in the old Capitola Hotel, which has been called various things. It used to be called the Anchor Hotel, and there's actual artifacts of it. And it used to be called the Magnolia Rose Hotel, and there's artifacts of that, but they're very rare because a fire was staged in 1911 and it supposedly burned down. But it actually still exists. All the pieces are there. So if you have the original, you can actually compare it to the other houses that are still existing. So the Bayview was one of those that was moved twice. So every time they would move something, they could create a different title of ownership.
And how did they
move
all these?
That's kind of how it worked.
Yeah.
That's kind of how the land grab worked.
Oh, I see. So a lot of buildings were moved around the counties. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And many were taken from Watsonville and moved to Santa Cruz. All those little houses down there by the high school, and also the high school, that's all recycled from the Rispin Mansion. And that was, it's very complicated. It's very, very complicated, but it's a 137-year-old history. And Billy the Kid's family came as Mormon squatters, supposedly, to New Mexico. And her father's wife, or who he had stolen, Hines is her father. His wife, one of them, was the famous Rosemary Castro. She was a Castro that was on the San Andres land grant there in Northern California. And in her 60s, she followed him into New Mexico. And she's the famous Rose Wells, who Roswell, New Mexico, is named after.
Right.
Yeah, so she was kind of like Billy the Kid's stepmom, but she didn't have a lot of control over her life. She was put in a convent in Carmel when she was around 21, and her death was staged, and she's actually on the census data. And if you go to Mission Dolores, you can find her tomb. But and the cemetery in Aptos also has a tomb to her son, but it's broken. It's in the very back. Go see it. And the Aptos Museum has the hotel roster from the old Magnolia Rose, and also has the sign-in list. So all these people were real. They existed on census, and they're in other archives. And the land grabs were 1876. By 1877, that's the Lincoln County War in New Mexico. Those are the ones starting with the assassination of actually someone from Watsonville, California, here in New Mexico. They had businesses here.
So somebody from here, who was that?
Little. His name was Little. He was a business partner of Klaus Spreckels, and they actually organized his killing because they were going to fight over the money. They were going to fight over his half of whatever businesses they owned together. So, and his mansion is in Watsonville. The Little Mansion, or the Tuttle Mansion, is that big red one. That big, I can't remember what the street is called, but it's on the same street that the church is on.
Yeah.
Who's married in Soquel? Did you say Billy the Kid? Was
who?
Whose tomb was in the Soquel graveyard?
Oh, okay. So there are many people buried there. So Billy the Kid is buried there, but she's buried in Santa Cruz. But in Aptos, where the cemetery is, right on Soquel and whatever that one is that goes to the beach, that church right there, in the back, there's a broken tombstone, and it's very oversized, and you'll recognize it has some errors in the cement, and it's been broken down. But that's to Rosemary Castro's son, who was raised by Hines in Mission Carmel. His name was George Castro, but his baptism name was Rudolfo Napoleano Castro, and it wasn't Rose's son with her husband, because she had a marriage to him when she was like 16. It was arranged, and he was 63 or something like that. So, yeah, it's real complicated what they did, but basically what had to happen in the land grabs was that you had to know who to marry or who to steal. So they did a lot of stealing of important women that were actually on the San Andres land grant. And so Billy the Kid's mother comes from that mission as well, in Mission Carmel. She was stolen by Alfred Frederick Joseph Hines, the Santa Cruz baron and the Congregational minister of Santa Cruz. He worked with Klaus Freckles. He stole her in 1838. Rose Castro was in the mission by then, and so was Carmen. And Carmen was a famous Portuguese princess from Davenport, the Hubbards. You call Hubbard or a bear or however you pronounce it, but they were Martina Castro's relatives, and Martina Castro was on the San Andres land grant until 1803. So that's when she died. And so one of the Portuguese princesses, these women were born in Sonora, Mexico, I think, at the same year Abraham Lincoln was born, like 1808. By 1817, they were already on the coast of California. Mm-hmm. And it was still Mexico, but what was happening is that Mexico was having a war against Spain for independence. So it's 1818, and there's a war between Mexico and Spain for independence, and all the people that are in Mexico that are of the royal families are basically going into hiding.
Hmm.
So, but she's kidnapped, and she's brought to Carmel. She was like a famous Carmelite nun, and Hines had a daughter with her, and then, you know, he was a really bad person, so he controlled a lot of who was going to marry, who was going to have children together, and that's Billy the Kid's line. So what I find in the research is that Alfred Hines is her father, and her mother was Alice Sullivan Doyle, who's buried in the replica of Mission Santa Cruz. If you go in the replica and look at who's in the floor, it's a Doyle. So the Doyle family goes back to the Angevin princesses of the Prit is the root word of Britannia, but they were exiled into Celtic Cornwall. And this is the origin of Hines family. So they were very powerful people that go all the way back to, you know, the time of the monarchs and the fights in between families, royal families.
Mm-hmm.
So, that family, Alice, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was wondering, so you said Billy the Kid's buried somewhere in Santa Cruz?
Yes, and she's
Harvey
buried
West.
As Mary Armory Case. If you go into the Harvey West Cemetery...
Mm-hmm.
You know how there's so many tombs to Billy the Kid throughout all the Southwest? There were all these staged deaths because, mm-hmm. you know, he has multiple tombs all around the Southwest.
He was shot down, right, supposedly.
He was supposedly assassinated in 1881 in the Maxwell House in Rayado, New Mexico. Rayado means score, and that's where Charles Maxwell had his house, and he was the heir to the 2 million acres of the San Antonio land grant. That's mm-hmm. Charles Maxwell. And that's also Henry Cowell. That's the same person. And his son was an engineer from the University of California. So they re-engineered a lot of stuff. But
they changed the gravestones. Yeah.
So whereabouts in that graveyard at Harvey West?
Okay, so this is what, pay attention, this is the very interesting part, is that the stone is you walk in, and it's kind of hard to describe, but it's not up the mountain. It's on the side, closer to the street, and she has two headstones, and they face one on her feet and one on her head, and they face each other. It's very strange.
Huh.
So they made two, and they put one on her feet, one on her head, and it says Mary Armory Case. and that stands for armor or casing of armor. Her husband was Klaus Breckels, whose fake name, that was a fake name for Samuel Prescott Bush, and he had the patents for the pistol, for armor, for case, for the Winchester rifle. So that was her first husband when she was 15 years old. He was 30 years older than her. And so she's buried as a joke. If you put Mary A. Case, it's Mary Mack. You know the story, that rhyme that the children sang, Miss Mary Mack, 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 all dressed in black, black, black? That's her. That's Mary Mack. And she's buried as Mary Mack. So if you, you'll find her by those initials and take her some flowers for me if you go there.
Take her some flowers.
I forgave her a long time ago.
Because no one goes.
Yeah. She did a lot of bad stuff, but I forgave her a long time ago. And
there's a lot of other rhymes, too, you're talking about.
Yeah, she wrote the one of the No One Loves Likes Me, Everyone Hates Me, Guess I'll Go Eat Worms. She wrote that one. And she actually, though, was very sad, but she did eat worms. Her father used to abuse her. And so that was something she did to show him that she couldn't be broken. Like, she didn't, they, what they did didn't mean nothing to her. And
her father was her husband, right?
Her father was actually her grandpa and her dad. But her first husband was Samuel Prescott Bush, and he was he had the fake name Klaus Freckles, and he turns up all over the Gadsden Purchase.
Wait, your father? Wait a minute. Her father and her grandfather are the same person?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's some incest going on there?
He was a pedophile. He was a pedophile, and he did a lot of incest. And my second book, which is on the Mission Carmel, and he lived there with eight other people. So I wrote in detail about his family because it was just so confusing. I had to write it down. It's not one of my best books because it's all about who's who and who's who and who's who. But he lived in Mission Carmel, and there was no, like, Catholic mass per se because there had already been a 10-year plan to desecularize the missions after the expulsion of the Jesuits in 1777. So the Jesuits are expelled, and they tried to restrict, you know, all these laws on the church because the Inquisition was a nightmare, you know.
Yeah.
And the Inquisition still lasts until 1836. So Hines is in power. He's still around. He's born around 1800. He's around in his 30s in those years, and he gets that mission in Carmel. He lives in it as a resident. And he actually, when they come back into power after the Mexican-American War, and, you know, America gets all this land, and they start running all the missions again, and it's all Catholic and German or, you know, Scottish. He was Scottish and Welsh and German. Then they start again the congregational ministry. But he, at that time, was living with his family there and these disappeared women who were very important because they were on the San Andres and San Antonio land grant.
And by so that's marrying how he them, immediately got some a bunch of land.
Yeah, he was a powerful, powerful man in that sense. I mean, they had everything. And when they left from Monterey, they came into Lincoln County. So the year's 1877, Mary Agnes is only 15 years old. So that's Billy the Kid. She's only 15 years old. Her brother, who's only 2 years older than her, same mom, different dads, so half-brothers. He's Coleman Watson, who they named Watsonville after. So they renamed Pajaro. It used to be called La Viga del Pajaro. Like, it was so sacred, that land, that the birds wouldn't even land on the roof. And that's what a viga is, or a vega, like Las Vegas. That's what it means. Wooden poles, you know. So, and you know how Watsonville is like just a valley of birds, you know. And it was so sacred in Santa Cruz, those birds wouldn't even land on the roof. Because, you know, the missions are the northernmost end of the Camino Real. And that road's like 1,000 years old. Many empires have been here, not just the Spanish, not just the Moors, not just the Turks, not just the Tamarees or the Tamerlin, not just the Celts. There's been many, many people here, including the what we see as, you know, Native Americans. But when do we decide who's Native? You know, it goes back to the War of Roses or like 1540s.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, what's next?
I know.
Oh, gosh. Lost my train here.
Yeah, well, what happened is that when they came into New Mexico, the Lincoln County Wars were initiated, and the two gangs, so to say, one of them was the McSweeney gang, Mr. and Mrs. McSweeney, and this is actually Samuel Bush and Mary Agnes, and that's their fake name. Sweeney or Greeny or Breeny, those, all the same root word. It comes from the word breen or bean.
So
the bean or breen family, yeah, and that's kind of just a play on language. They would change things slightly, and back in the day, you could have a stage death and, you know, turn up as someone else. So Billy the Kid's stage death was in 1881, and she turns up somewhere else. So she actually goes back to Santa Cruz, and she becomes the first school teacher at the mission up on Mission Hill. And that little school that's called the Rodriguez Neri Adobe, it's on Mission Hill. It's one of the only adobes still standing in Santa Cruz. It's the recycled bricks of the original church that fell down in 1858 earthquake. So at the same time of the Mexican-American Wars, there was like two major earthquakes in Santa Cruz. The church fell. The bell tower fell. Where the tower is now in downtown Santa Cruz, that used to be on the other side of the high school facing the other direction. So the church and the school used to face east, southeast. Yeah, mm-hmm. And they took the cemetery apart and they built it in the Harvey West. So half of what's in Harvey West are just headstones. There's not a lot of bodies there. The mm-hmm. bodies got left under the freeway when they built the Highway 1 across the old church grounds.
Hmm.
Yeah, Santa Cruz has really been re-engineered. It used to be different in the past. You know, all those deep canals and stuff. Boats used to come into Santa Cruz. Boats and ships. Yeah, ships used to travel that Branch of 40. They call it a creek. And, you know, when you look down, it's by no means a creek. It's a huge port for a ship. But language does that. It kind of, they use it to distort what it was. It was very sacred. Santa Cruz was very a sacred land. They have the cemeteries there are as old as King David or something. I mean, they're very, very old. They're very, very old.
Recently, last year, the Ohlone won a victory for their burial ground. There was going to be some development up on near Market.
Ohlone, that means Mother of Pearl. And those are all the pearls that are found in those rivers there. Ohlone, yeah, pearls. There used to be lots of pearls. So Billy the Kid's family came from Monterey. They were Celtic, so to say, like colonizers. But colonization, when you think about Mexico, we always think about it going south. You know, they went to colonize. If you read the Mormon Battalion files, you know, they were sent to colonize Mexico. We always think of them going south, but they actually came to California. And when they came into New Mexico, the two gangs, the McSweeney gang, and then there was the Dolan, Murphy, and Riley gang. And so those were like indigenous people, but, you know, Spanish that had territories since the 14, 15, 16. The Moors were here a long time before the 17th century version of Spanish history and the conquest, because Spain was divided between northern Catholic Spain and there was southern. They were Moors. They were Muslims, mm-hmm. like Grenada, that's Moorish. So was Andalus, that's Arabic. It means where there's light. Mm-hmm. So there was a war basically in Spain, and that's when like the church was losing power. So when they lose power there, they lose power in Mexico. But it take them longer to get rid of the culprits because they were further away. So they tried in the Mexican Revolution to struggle against the church, for example, and ban Catholics owning the land or the church owning the ejido or Catholic catechism owning the school and education. But it came back something fierce with the, you know, with Hines coming back into power. Let me let my cat out.
The history was starting to be revised in the late 1800s by the Masons in Santa Cruz, and right?
That's how it happened. So there were monarchs right up until the assassination of the Mexican emperor was 1823. That's Emperor Augustine the First. He was a Mason, but he actually got assassinated, and his wife was the last Duchess of Monte Albán. She went into hiding. And she gets taken up the Camino Real to Mission Dolores. It's still Mexico, where she lives another 10 years, I think. She's buried there in the cemetery there. But she gets pregnant from the army guy that saves her, who is Joaquin Castro. And that's already, he's like on his fourth relationship. So he's the guy who marries Maria Antonia Alviso. And Alviso is the city north of San Jose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that means the view. It's Arabic, the view. It's like mountain view. But so he actually, that's his second marriage to her, and it's all for money. They adopt the two children of the empress and the emperor who are in hiding. And in 1832, when they repetition the courts, the Mexican courts, because it's now independent from Spain, to validate ownership of the land,
mm-hmm.
it gets taken from Maria Antonia, which are that's the Bean or the Breen side of the family. I think that's Heinz's family, because they're very German, like mm-hmm. short, very curly hair, big bosom, short, like women, they very resembled very much Germans. And that's the Breen side, but the money and the airship went to his adopted and her adopted kids, and she got pissed. And so that's the year she dies. That's 1832. And then that's the year the Duchess dies. So I think that there's a lot of murders. And Luis Maria, who was her oldest son, or the son of the emperor, he was hiding as Gabriel Moraga. He gets a change of identity. And so Mary Agnes is not born until 1861. That's Billy the Kid. So these things are happening prior, but her father's already alive.
Okay, yeah. That was the Samuel P. Bush. And what was his other names?
Alfred Frederick Joseph Heinz. And that's Hearn Sewell. So Hearn or Heinz comes from the German word Mr. Just means Mr. So if you go look in the mission replica, you'll see Sullivan Duval or Doyle. And Doyle is a reference to the Angevins, like the Angevin princesses. That's the mother of Queen Elizabeth, right?
Okay.
Anne Doyle or Boyle. Boylan's the same name.
Boylan, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So those Angevins, they were in Mexico a long, long time. You know, those people were intermarried. All of the Spanish kings and queens were all intermarried with British and French and Austrian and Hungarian. That's why the Hungarians even opted to fight Mexico in the Battle of Puebla. They still had claims to Mexico through the Austrian and Hungarian money they printed here in the 1500s. I mean, that went back far.
Mm-hmm.
That went back far. So Austria-Hungary, like the Battle of Puebla, they were still trying to reinstall a king, and that's when they put Maximilian.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Rose Castro's son is born. And Rose Castro's son, George Castro, he becomes the father of Coleman Gibbs Watson, who's raised by Alfred Heinz. And that's Billy the Kid's older brother by 2 years. And they both use the fake identity. They both use that identity of Billy the Kid.
They
and that's what the research pointing out.
Hmm.
So
and it was a woman. So Mary Agnes, she was... She did have blue eyes, red hair.
Why did she do it? Why did she pass herself as a man?
Well, first of all, she was born to kill... Well, they were Klan members, so her father was a member of the 1863 Tennessee Ku Klux Klan.
Uh-huh.
And Samuel Prescott Bush was also a Klan member and a bonesman. These are like the Yale and Harvard bonesmen. They're killers in the past.
A Bavarian really secret society.
Yeah, they really have bones. And so she was exposed to that. Her mother was killed when she was 12 years old, and it was actually a ritual murder. I don't know if she's present or was present or not, but it happened when she was 12.
What do you mean by ritual murder?
They have
that
rituals.
That it's still the foundation of Masonry, that it's still stuff repeated in the secret lodges of Mason. I don't know a lot about it, but...
a lot of black magic or something?
Yeah, there's the foundation of black magic, and that goes all the way back to the Angevins and the Pendragon. So Pendragon means five-star white dragon, and that was the line of the Cornish Celts that were expelled from Britain.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's a line of magic there because, you know, their royal line wasn't recognized, and there was actually like a... They were trying to kill them all. So that's why in the past when they divided Britain, the Prit, like where the word Brit comes from, Pritkin, that's where the word comes from, Pritkin or Prettykin or Pennington or Pendragon. These are the same name. It means the five-star white snake. There was magic involved. These people weren't messing around.
Uh-huh.
When they killed, they just didn't kill people. They did do bad things. Worse things, you know, like kind of what's happening in Mexico, you know, real bad things. Torture and beheadings and skinnings and just horrible shit.
Oh, yeah, the skinnings. And then they put the skin on and...
Yeah, they did that. Mary Agnes did that, and that with her third husband, John Jones. He was the master mason at the San Juan Bautista Lodge. If you go there, it's called the Lodge Number 46 of the Austin Rangers. So they play with language. You think of Texas Austin Rangers as being in Texas, you know.
Uh-huh.
You don't imagine that to be the name on the San Juan Lodge in San Juan Bautista. But he was a mason there, and you can find that in the Mormon Battalion files, who he was. He's a very famous person.
You know, a lot of people
came to New Mexico, too, at those years.
A lot of people don't know that inside the Mormon church, they have, like, secret rituals, much like the Masons. They put on white robes and do all kinds of weird things. Probably some influence between the two groups there.
Yeah, Mary was exposed to that, unfortunately, and she was also, like, you know, her father was a pedophile. Her father was a rapist. They were killers.
That also fits with the Freemasons. You know, with the recent scandal in Pennsylvania with the child molesting with the football teams and stuff. Well, the children were coming from Second Mile, a Freemason controlled school.
Mm-hmm. It's actually part. You know, I hate to say it, but it's part of what they do. Like
exactly
the worst
right.
thing you can do is hurt kids, and that's kind of where the focus of bad magic is. So they did a lot of bad magic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Creates Manchurian candidates too. Creates assassins as well that can be controlled. They create multiple personalities. Mm-hmm. The kids will their personalities split from the horror of it.
Mm-hmm. And they do. Yeah, they do that still. It's really sad, but yes. And so she was exposed to that, first of all. And then when they came to New Mexico, she was already married to Sam Bush, and he had actually already assassinated Cookie Castro. Her daughter, Carrie Bean, started the Begonia Festival in Santa Cruz. She was a good swimmer. And her pictures are in the Bayview Hotel. If you go in there and look, going towards the downstairs bathroom, there's a swim team picture. Carrie Bean's in that one. And so she was assassinated at the age of 21 in 1876, and so was her mother. That was Cookie Castro. And Cookie's name is on a door in the Bayview Hotel. They call her Amelia. That was her real name, but Amelia's nickname is Cookie. And Cookie's mansion is the Rosen Garden Bed and Breakfast. It's on Soquel, right there in Aptos. That was her place. I think she actually died there. And I visited with the woman that lives there, and a lot of weird stuff happens in that house. It's a very strange house. Yeah, so he was real bad. What can I say?
And then they moved all these buildings around, and it made it seem like they weren't done there, and it changed everything. They even changed, I don't know if they changed the wood top, but they rebuilt things log by log or plank by plank. Is that what I mean?
So they had a real interest in deconstructing a main building there, which is the Rispin Mansion. You know, mansion that's in ruins.
For sure.
It used to be composed of five buildings in the shape of a butterfly. That's why it's a Monarch Butterfly Reserve. And the name on it was Pamphilio. So that was even Carrie Bean's husband's name, Pamphilio Covarrubias, which means the red collar of the butterfly tribe. So the Spanish red collars were actually there when it was a governmental palace. It actually was accessible by ship in the past. And the other side of it is the side that faces that creek that you can't get into. It used to carry enough water for boats to kind of meander up there. That was the women's quarters. So that building has fallen and been rebuilt more than once, for sure. But what's left of it is just the women's quarters, and then it became a governmental palace, and it was taken by the Pearson family, which are still, like, politicians all over the world, not just there.
Yeah, that's what you hear. Yeah. In the 20s, that's what you hear. The Pearsons had it as a hotel or something.
Yeah, they lived in it like a house, and so, all those families are interrelated. So the Hearst family, the Hearns, like the Hearst and Hearst Castle, that's the same word as Hearns, and that's the same family that had the Rispin Mansion. So Duncan Pearson, he was the one he was born in 1830, and he disappeared at the age of 4, 1834. He was stolen. His mother was named Juliet Armijo Gallagher, and she was one of the early Armijo heirs that was a half-sister to the second president of Texas. And she left from New Mexico to marry a governor of Northern California. And that marriage created a son who was Duncan Pearson, who also was raised by Hines after he was kidnapped. So he becomes Duncan Hines of the Frosting.
Yeah.
Duncan Hines. And also, he was a Mondragon or a Pendragon. He, through his mother's side, he related all that land to, well, to the families that took it. So his family becomes the Hearst, and his wife was Phoebe Apperson Hearst. And she was a UC Berkeley regent until her death. But if you think about Phoebe, her middle name was Apperson. So that means A. Pearson. Like saying, what are you? I'm a Hernandez. No, she's a Pearson. So she was the wife of Duncan Pearson.
Yum.
She had more than 3.8 million artifacts stolen and taken into a museum. They stole everything. Those are the land grabbers. And she was actually a UC regent. So Billy the Kid had family, had half-sisters, had half-brothers, was politically related to the main players. So Sam Bean was the sheriff of Doniana County in 1853. Her half-brother, Coleman Watson, became a New Mexico commissioner. He had a staged death. The sheriff of New Mexico in 1896 was Sheriff George Kearney or Curry. This is her nephew. This is where the assassination was staged, in the Charles Maxwell house. It's the same person. So they overlap in history, and one of the sheriffs of Doniana County in 1854 was John Burt Jones. That was her third husband. So Billy the Kid wasn't just like a lone bandit that killed 100 people, but she was very politically connected and outlived them all. So she did learn the strategies, but she outlived them. And she consolidated all the wealth. Her children are the Wells Fargo children.
And she became a different persona, and she was the woman that lived in the Winchester house as well. That's one thing she did. These people that changed their names and identities, did they have several years in between, or were they doing it simultaneously at different locations? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there were simultaneous name changes at different locations, but her actually, when she left and returned, she took up the new name. She becomes the school teacher, Mary Brayfogle. So from Brayfogle comes from Gray Friar. So they were Scottish Gray Friars. That's why you see like the gray bears around there. So they were Scottish Gray Friars. And Bray is also the root word of Brayfogle. Her father was Sewell. So that's where you get Wells Fogle or Wells Fargo.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And now her... Mm-hmm. Yes.
And now you got to say what the other word for Bean, what they ended up establishing. Bean is the same as Bush, isn't it? But anyway.
Yeah, that's the family. It comes from the bean or the breen or the green or the, yeah, it's
and that's,
just slight semantic shifts on the same word.
Is that true that the L.L. Bean Corporation was from that family?
Yes, and the M.L. Bean, that's called the McLaughlin Bean Mansion. That's on 3rd and Main Street in Santa Cruz, and that's a main piece of a stolen property called the Magnolia Rose that was in Capitola. And that's him, Samuel Prescott Bush, that's him, McLaughlin Bean. That's the name he went by there.
And we know who he is. Was,
yeah.
I mean.
And you know that the story of that house is that he killed his daughter on a wedding night, but it was actually his daughter, and that was Mary Agnes's. She inherited that. She inherited everything.
So what happened to all this land in modern times? Like today, it seems like Barry Swinson owns all kinds of crap all over Santa Cruz, including the bank where a lot of her friends are looking at 7 years for being over-occupying.
Wells Fargo.
Barry.
Yeah, I know. I was so proud of Santa Cruz when that happened. I was so happy. It was like the perfect place to occupy. The family was involved in the land grab. So it goes back really, really far. All these people are old money, like the mayor's related. And the council people are related, and you know, it's not 130 years ago is not a long time,
right?
So
you're saying Swenson is part of this group?
I don't remember the family's exact connections, but I remember at one time I knew them. So yeah, I knew that family was who they were in relationship to the Lincoln County Wars at one time. They're involved in that somehow, but I can't remember anymore. I haven't thought about it in a while.
Okay.
Okay, what are some of the other plays that some of the council members we can surmise are the ones. Did you say this?
I don't remember because I've been gone for a while, but as I was working, I knew who they were. And what you can do that's real easy is look at the names on the land. So, like, the Rispin Mansion has a donation signed by Richard Perry.
Okay.
And so Perry comes from the word carry or Kern, like Kern County. And that's Neary, which is the adobe on the mission up there. Neary is just the N on top of the word Hearn. And Hearn is the real word of Hines. He has his name on everything. One of his sisters was married to the governor there, I think, and that was Juliet Armijo. And she died in 1838. I don't know a lot about her death, but her children became New Mexico governors. And so Billy the Kid was really connected in that one of those New Mexico governors conspired with these people, and he signed into the Magnolia Rose in April of 1876. That sign-in sheet is in the Aptos Museum, and if you go ask for a copy, they'll probably freak out, but it's there. They gave me one. They didn't know what they were giving me. And on that sign-in sheet is Guadalupe Castro, and he was the last of three people that was deeded the San Andres land grant in 1838, and he signs in, and he's one of Juliet Armijo's sons, and he turns out to be a New Mexico governor, and that's the Baca family, and those people were like, you know, Mary Agnes wrote that song, Baca, black sheep, have you any wool? Yes, sir, three bags full. Well, she wrote that rhyme. It's not Baba, it's Baka, black sheep who went against his family.
So the black sheep of the family.
Yeah, the black sheep of the family. And with him and her mother, she has a half-sister, and that's the subject of my next book and my next talk.
And what is your next? Let's tell everyone your next book.
So, well, that one on Billy the Kid's half-sister, her name is Bernice Porter Taylor Mills. She was born in 1874 to same mother, Alice Sullivan Doyle, or Duval, and a different father, which was one of the Castros, the last one to be on the land grant because the others were murdered in the land grabs, and he survives it. But what's interesting is that it's a coordinated birth to bring two very powerful families together and create an acceptable black child that's going to rule like the new Americas, because all this part of Mexico now is incorporated into the United States, and they're going to rewrite history in a way, but they still maintain power. Her family is, well, still in power to this day. They become J.P. Morgan, the J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. That's her half-sister's family. Her half-sister becomes J.P. Morgan. So her half-sister's father is the famous J.P. Morgan. And that's there's multiple fake names on him, but he was on the San Andres land grant in 1838.
Now this, let me get this straight, what's going on here.
Okay.
The land grant is because we captured the territory from Mexico, and these people own the land because they were former royalty from Mexico. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, right. So it was Spain, right? Spain, and then independent Mexico by 1818. They fought it for about 20 years.
So their names...
So
their names are on it, and then these Masons would try and marry into them to get legal title to some of that land.
Yes, but yeah, but they were very powerful families, and I think they had been intermarried a long time. So, for example, Hines is closely related, and he overlaps a lot in history with the second president of Texas, which is Miramar Bobien. So Bobien is Spanish. It also means sea well, or like Maxwell, or goes well, Bobien. Mm-hmm. It says, Mirar Mar se va bien. It's like there are a lot of language plays, and his relative was Juliet Armijo, and she was married to a Santa Cruz, who lived in Santa Cruz, the governor, and that's the Alvarado Hotel.
Hmm.
The Alvarado, it used to be in Santa Cruz, and now it's in Monterey.
So these people were here because there was trouble in Mexico with the independence. They came into this area, and then, now why did they go to New Mexico again? They followed the El Camino.
So they were already in California for a long time when it was already Mexico. So the capital of California in Capitola was actually a capital.
Of Mexico or just of a certain territory?
Yeah, it wasn't the DF like we think of the DF. It wasn't the DF. It came to Lincoln County after it was in Capitola. Those were after the Mexican-American War, and many people fled to the other side of the border. But they came to Lincoln County, and they fought for the boundaries of Lincoln County, because Lincoln County's boundaries are very distorted. They assign it a small little city on the other side of the lower Occidental Rocky Mountains.
The boundaries from Mexico, or is these state boundaries, or what?
Yeah, they're fighting over national boundaries and state boundaries.
So they came from here to fight for boundaries there, to grab more land, I guess.
No, they lived there, so that was Mexico, and it was Spain. So these families were there at the time of Spain, at the time of the Spanish Empire.
There was refugees here, and then they still had some old family in New Mexico, and that's why they went there? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, the land grant was that huge. So if you think about the old boundaries of New Mexico, like, there was no Arizona. California came, like, this far.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it came far.
And the old governor of Mexico? Wait a minute. He was lynched, right?
So the governor of up there, Northern California, he was elected. So Mexico is ceded to the United States, 1848, 1853. These are the years that there's like this transition of power.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still being elected to office. So you can find him on voting registration records. He has multiple names, but his most famous one is Joe Castro. So he was born in 1817, he died in 1876, and he was killed by these main people that I'm talking about. He was killed by Klaus Freckles, Alfred Hines, and Alfred Hines' two older sons, mm-hmm. who were the Williamsons, and they were from Felton.
Because he would have continued to hold power in this area just because of his name was well known, so they just had to get rid of him. It's kind of a coup d'etat. So you were talking also there was like a public commons or something, and how was that run, and do those still exist in...
No,
Spain or
so all the Mexican ejidos are broken down. They were broken and just, like, sold. So the whole idea of, like, private property had to be put on the land because they were common land ejido.
How about in Mexico today? What happened to them? I mean, I assume that was, we did it with our English view of land.
Right.
But what happened in Mexico?
Mexico did it in 1917 with the Mexican Revolution. It was when Pancho Villa and Emiliano Zapata... Salazar.
They got rid of the commons?
They tried to get rid of the church owning those lands.
I see.
That's what was happening, is the church ownership of the big ejido.
So eventually the poor got screwed because there never was a public ownership of the commons. It just was taken from the church sold to rich people. Gravitization. Because that's how we used to deal with poor people.
It was like a different border, so they could come here safely to this part of Lincoln County, but it wasn't safe for that long because that's when all those political assassinations started to take place.
Yeah.
And also they were being dragged to court. So like the McSweeney was a lawyer, you know, his wife was involved in creating all these scandals, you know, about who stole whose watch and who wanted whose money and whose cattle was who and whose business was who and whose trade route. Because this is a huge cattle industry.
Right. That
and
was the economy
major
back
land
then.
Traded route. Mm-hmm.
It's either gold or cattle.
Yeah, and New Mexico was crazy with gold. Up until 1912, the mines started going out. But the Mondragon, the same family of the Hearst family, had the mines here. That's mm-hmm. called Mogollon. It's a mountain here in Mexico, and they were taking out more money than you can imagine from those mines. You know, in the 1890s, they were taking out what matters, you know, most, millions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's crazy. That's how they got so far ahead in the game, and then they always funded defense. So UC Berkeley, for example, runs the nuclear labs in New Mexico. And then it was passed to Bechtel. So Bechtel runs our nuclear labs up here in New Mexico, and that's all the same family. And they've always been involved in defense. And
who's running Bechtel?
Bechtel is running the Alamogordo lab.
Yeah, but who's running Bechtel? You said it was the same family is running everything?
Oh, yeah. The name Beck or Beck, well, Bechtel, that's Mary Agnes's family. Let me look at her family tree and tell you who the Bechtel children are. Elilita, I can't pronounce it very well, Huggins. She's listed as the daughter of William Amos Huggins, and that's the line of Bechtel. And, and Jenny Bechtel and Willie Bechtel are also on this as well.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
1832 in Ohio. So they have Ohio dates. August 19, 1862, Willie Bechtel. And then it shows Jenny Bechtel. marry James Holtzclaw, no children. They love to do that.
But they had it somewhere else in a with a different identity. And so, they even married the relatives, didn't they?
She
married her
nephew. Keeps money in the family, though. It doesn't get split up that way.
And it was even legal.
Well, they're Mormons,
in New Mexico,
right?
You can still marry your blood relative, but gays can't get married.
But in New Mexico, right now?
Yes. To this day, you can marry your blood relative.
I wonder if my sister's still good looking.
Just to keep money.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Because otherwise, poor people try and marry into rich family, get some of the money. They keep the money all condensed and concentrated capital by just marrying other rich people or keeping it in the family.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Julia Lonergan and Rodriguez, and we're on the Tangerine Dream Team show. And what? Screw the land shut. No.
Free the land.
Free the land.
What you're talking about here on the control by families, I mean, that's really, our friends in the political, they always look at the representatives or they ignore the government, but really these things are run by families, and it's been done for centuries.
You're breaking up now. Can you guys hear me?
Well, what I was saying
is... You were going too loud.
You're talking about families running the land and areas and stuff, and we think normally of politicians doing, but it's actually these families fund the politicians.
Yeah, and they're all Masons, and it's always a good old boy system, which means you get positions not through merit, but
by who you know. Exactly right.
Who you know. Mm-hmm. And it's been going on forever, so even up to this point, if you think about Bush and Kerry, so those are the same families I'm talking about. Kerry comes from Kearney or Curry, and it's the root word of Kern or Hearn. It's the same. That's why Kerry and Hines, his wife, were cousins. We knew that.
Mm-hmm. And didn't you tell me that there was a issue maybe brought up about the mother of Barack Obama now?
Well, if you look at who his mom is, they say she's Irish, so they hid under the Irish plight. The Irish really provided cover for the Scots and the Germans. And if you look at her name, it's also Kearn, K-E-A-R-N-E, Irish.
And so that could have been all well predicted. They wanted to get...
Well, the whole point of what they were trying to do at this time was to create an acceptable black person that would be like a king heir to the Americas, and I think we arrived there. I don't know. I don't know really if he... I've never traced his mother straight through, but I do notice the parallel in the theme and the name.
Okay, I see.
Well, speaking of secret societies, he did go to the Bilderberg group just like Bill Clinton did to get approval for presidency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not a little thing what they're doing, because you see, it's kind of like a grand illusion. We're in it. While he says one thing, like a lamb, his deeds, especially against the people of color in the borderland, are awful. Our prisons are overflowing. Mm-hmm. Our families are broken. We can't go nowhere. It's dangerous. The police have so much power over immigrants. Now they stop everybody. They impound your cars. You can't get them out just for traffic things. People are living in fear, and I'm down here in a border where it's a police state, and it's pretty heavy duty. Mexicans aren't going to the dances anymore. People are not moving around. It's heightened police state, and it's unfortunate, but we're living it still, because they divided Lincoln County. That's where we are. It's all divided, and when you divide the land, you allow someone else to denigrate and stigmatize and make the other feel lesser than human.
Yeah, that's usually the usual. To exploit somebody, you got to make them seem not family, definitely some other subhuman kind of entity that you can exploit. Mm-hmm. It justifies the prejudice.
So that's a real good book, is that it's just crazy. It has 70 pictures, and I have, how they say there's only one picture of Billy the Kid? It's totally not true, because that picture that does exist, it sold for $4.4 million, and it's a composite of two gel tintypes superimposed and burned together. Hmm. It's her brother and her. Hmm. But there's actually many pictures of her, and they still publish pictures of her in New Mexico riding a white horse. Hmm. And She survived until 1941. She left from here. She becomes a school teacher in Santa Cruz, and she's also the famous woman from the Winchester Mansion. So that mansion was built on the San Andres land grant. It was on, that is the northernmost border of the San Andres land grant, and it was started before 1832, and it was in her family in a way, but she made sure that she inherited it. Yeah. Hmm. And I think Bechtel owns that too, but they don't tell who owns it.
In your opinion, why is it that she alone survived all those other assassinations, and she was it her doing, or was she protected from it?
Yeah, there was not a lot of other people as powerful as her, I don't think. But she was way younger than them, so she outlived them all. If you think about it, Samuel Prescott Bush was born in 1835, I think, or 1832, and she was born in 1861. She outlived them, and she actually deliberately tried to extend her identity through one of her daughters. So,
hey, you are?
Yeah, she had an empire.
Okay, I thought you were fading out a little bit. No,
I am.
No, that was our side. That was our side, Julia. I want to tell people that they can get your PDF. Oh, no, they can get your Kindle book.
Yeah, it's on Amazon, The Secret Life of Billy the Kid. It's on Amazon, but it's not on Kindle yet. I'm still kind of, it's there. It has some problems because I'm the editor and publisher and writer and researcher. So, it's there, and it has 70 pictures, and you can kind of open it and read parts of it on the internet. You can read up to 10 pages and see her pictures.
I see. So people can look at it right now and review it, and do you want them to get back to some place to you, or?
Well, if they get it and read it online, you know, get it and open it and buy it, it's like $20, and I only make $5 off each one, and it's fun, it's super crazy, it's like putting out another proposition or possibility or probability. It's another view of the Billy the Kid material that synthesizes it and ties it down much better than anything I've seen out there. I mean, like, this will hone it in on where we're at right now with, like, banks and, you know, what we've been through in terms of the collapses, the movement of money and power. I mean, it just kind of, for me, it gives me a good looking glass at where we are politically, but it's complicated. And it repeats itself enough and has enough pictures that you'll get my point. And I published the Wells Fargo family tree, so that's fun.
Yeah, so this was interesting to read. I read part of the shortened version, and I would suggest people do that, and also to get your book about Bernice, and then there's a new one coming up. You want to say the name of that one? Or are you ready yet?
Yeah, that one works, and it's going to be called The Moor Princess. It's about Fatima and City of El Dorado, and that one's a lot of fun, too. It's tracing the caliphates from the 6th century all the way to the 15th century, and it shows the interrelationship of all the monarchs going back as almost far as you can use literature to support what you're showing. So it's about the city of El Dorado, the lost city of El Dorado. It's so interesting. It's really not in the Amazon. It's somewhere near the border of Sonora, and it's completely dismantled, but there's a lot of stuff still left, ruins and historical data and linguistic data, so I'm working on that right now. But yeah.
What was the title again?
It's the fun. It's called Fatima and the Golden City of El Dorado.
Okay.
That's excellent, Juliet. It's been really great talking with you. I hope that we can, you know, hear you again. And
thank you.
Yeah. So is there anything else you would like to say to people?
No, just that, thanks for letting me come out there and put that word out there. And it's interesting. Just take a look at it. It reads a little complicated, but I think it ties it down and gives insight into a political situation that we're all kind of exposed to. It's a cultural metaphor we all know about, but this one really gives insight to the way it evolved covertly.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Julia Lonergan Rodriguez, and this is 101.3 FM, Tangerine Dream Team Show, Free the Land Show, here on freakradio.org. So, thanks for tuning in.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Bye now.
And bye. Thanks. Bye-bye. Right on. What do you have to say for freedom?
You mean while you figure out something to put on the air?
No.
Are you still recording?
That was a great interview, and yeah. So, yeah, that was interesting. There's more to it. I wasn't able to, have her on longer, but